The book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 32, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, which means that Jeremiah has been preaching God's word now for 40 years. It says in verse 2, "For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Why do you prophesy and say, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. Then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, says the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed. The king of Israel says, Jeremiah, why do you prophesy all these negative things about us? This is all bad news. And so we see here that Jeremiah is actually put in prison for saying that God says the king of Babylon will conquer Israel. Well, guess what? As Jeremiah sits in prison, Nebuchadnezzar is conquering Israel. I would say that it just might be a good time for Israel to repent and to let the prophet out of jail with an apology. I think that would be a good thing. But it's not going to happen. Verse 6, and Jeremiah said, The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you, saying, Buy a field which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, Please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption is yours. Buy it yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So get this. Jeremiah is sitting there, and the country is being conquered, and he gets a message from God. And the message says, Jeremiah, your relative is going to come and ask you to buy a field. Not a smart thing to do when your country's being conquered, probably. Land values go way down when you're being conquered. And so it happened. I mean, it came to pass. And Jeremiah says, that's how I knew that it was the word of God, because it came to pass. And so it says in verse 9, So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver. Well, God told him to do it, and so he did it, even though it didn't seem like a smart investment at the time. And he made it legal and official. Verse 10, I signed the deed and sealed it, took witnesses and weighed the money out in the balances. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom and that which was open. And I gave the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah, in the presence of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed, before all the Jews who sat at the court of the prison. So Jeremiah is buying this while he's in jail for preaching the word of God. Verse 13, Then I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these deeds, both this purchase deed which is sealed and this deed which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may last many days. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. And so the enemy is about to wipe out Israel, which, like I mentioned earlier, is going to make property values pretty much worthless. I mean, the stock market is not doing very well when your country is about to be conquered. And Jeremiah's cousin says, Jeremiah, I want to sell you my property. Would you like to buy it? Jeremiah buys it. And, of course, that would be stupid unless you believe God's promise. God promised to bring his people back into their land. And Jeremiah believes that word of God. So he's going on the word of God, and he invests in the future. Verse 16. Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, well, God commanded Jeremiah to buy the property in Israel as it was being conquered, and it took real faith to obey. And Jeremiah obeyed, but he also prayed. Verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Well, if God can create the world out of nothing, then he can make buying land in a country which is about to be conquered make sense as well. And that's what Jeremiah is counting on. Verse 18, you show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. So, you know, often children mimic the sins of their parents, and when that happens, they also suffer the punishment that their parents suffer. Verse 19, you are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. One thing you can count on when it comes to God, he sees everything that each one of us do, and he responds to what we do in the correct way. 20. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, to this day and in Israel and among other men, and you have made yourself a name as it is this day. See, God did make himself a name. In other words, this is another way of saying he made for himself a reputation. God is good, and he rewards the good. God hates bad, and he punishes those who treat others badly. And that is the way God has always been. That is the way he will always be. He lives up to his reputation. 21. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. And that's what God did. God defeated the world's superpower, which was Egypt, back in the days of Moses. Without even breaking a sweat, God defeated them. And that's because God does whatever he wants to do. Excuse me. Verse 22. You have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. God always does what he says he will do. He does it even when the odds seem against him accomplishing it. Odds have nothing to do with God. 23. And they came in and took possession of it. But they have not obeyed your voice or walked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore you have caused all this calamity to come upon them. Yeah, when God's people didn't listen to him, he reversed their blessings. He took away their good and replaced it with bad, because the Bible says that we reap what we sow. 24. Look, the siege mounds. They have come to the city to take it. And the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans who fight against it because of the sword and famine and pestilence. What you have spoken has happened. There you see it. Killing and disease were happening, even as the prophet was speaking the word of God. God's judgment was happening. And, you know, still, God's people were not repenting. And that's the amazing thing, that a heart of a human being can become that hard. 25. And you have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field for the money, and take witnesses. Yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Well, Jeremiah prays about the field that he bought. And like I said, you know, Wall Street would have called him insane for buying that property. But Jeremiah obeyed God, and he bought it, and he prayed. 26. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God says, Jeremiah, you are correct when you say nothing is too hard for me to do. Because Jeremiah did say that earlier. And Jeremiah needs to remember what he believes about God. 28. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans who fight against this city shall come and set fire to the city and burn it, with the houses on whose roofs they have offered incense to Baal and poured out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. God will burn to the ground the homes in the land of Israel, the homes that were used, or should I say misused, to worship idols in. And you see, when we use God's good gifts to do bad, he's bound to take them away. 30. Because the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have provoked me only to anger with the work of their hands, says the Lord. For this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day. So I will remove it from before my face because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. Their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned to me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. But they have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Moloch, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Evil had been normal for God's people for a long time, and they refused to change, even though God warned them for many years. 36. Now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city of which you say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell in safety. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. The severe punishment that was coming upon God's people didn't mean that God was disowning his people forever. And it didn't even mean that he hated them. God will bring them back to their land. God will also bring them back to himself. Now, he's going to have to do it the hard way. If they would have cooperated, he could have done it the easy way. He's going to have to do it the hard way because of their persistent sin, but he's going to get it done. 42. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them. And fields will be bought in this land of which you say, it is desolate, without man or beast. It has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men will buy fields for money, sign deeds and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captives to return, says the Lord. God was faithful. When it came to his promise to punish, if they would not repent, God was faithful to keep his promise to punish. And likewise, God will be faithful to restore his people. Jeremiah can relax. He bought that property because he trusted the word of God. And God is telling him here in chapter 32 that he did the right thing. And God will not let him down. God does not let anyone down if they trust his word and act on it, even when it seems foolish. It's always the best way to go. And we'll pick it up in chapter 33 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.